The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning. How are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement. And I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app, or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. The kingdom is in glorious sunshine and there is a lot of crowds around, which is great to see. And lots of people visiting the kingdom, as many will be kind of, I suppose, going away temporarily tomorrow for the big game. I'm going up myself, very much looking forward to it, taking on the Dubs. And we will have a special interview later on that I did with Barney Rock, actually, about the Kerry-Dublin rivalry of, you know, the 70s and Mico and Heffo and into the 80s. And that was 10 years ago because it was Mico Dwyer's 80th birthday. And I interviewed quite a number of people, but I'm going to bring you that one just to give you a bit of a flavour and, you know, build up the excitement for the weekend that's in it. I was very lucky, in fact, when I worked in Dublin. It was before their dominance and before all the six in a row. So I used to have a great time slagging my fellow Dublin colleagues at work. It was brilliant. Glad I got out of there before they started getting all their success. And by the way, if you are enjoying the fine weather and you're near the water and all that, just be careful and be safe. Because it is important. We're, you know, it is the time to be swimming and enjoying ourselves, but just be that bit more careful. And also a reminder of our theme for our In Focus photography slot with Dominic Walsh is My Home. If you were sitting next to someone on holiday and they said, "Where's home for you?" and you go, "This is home." Now, that could be a landscape, it could be a family member, a friend, or anything, you know, think outside the box, as Dominic Walsh always says. Email them to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie before midday Wednesday, before the first Saturday of the month. Now, an action-packed programme for you. We will be bringing you that interview with Barney Rock, famous Dublin footballer, father of current selector or coach Dean Rock with the Dubs. We'll be talking about the Iveragh Vintage Club's annual field day, which is taking place next weekend. And it's supporting a young Waterville boy, Keelan, on his kidney transplant journey. And we'll hear from Hannah O'Sullivan, also from Port McGee, about her upcoming fundraiser for Group 135 Kerry, the Rise and Shine Trust Group 189 Killorglin, and Jet Set Group 305 Killorglin. And she'll also be speaking about her new podcast, Physically Challenged, The Full View. And we'll have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom letting you know what's going on in the arts world around the county. And I'm also going to play you an interview I did with a lighthouse keeper and historian about his time on the Tiaracht. If you want to get in touch with me during the week, you can email me, jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. Now, last year, Iveragh Vintage Club sadly lost their chairman, Miles O'Sullivan, in May 2025. Their annual field day in July was in aid of the local hospice, or hospital in Carsveen, that was last year, where Miles spent his last 2 days of his life in dignity and comfort. His wife, Brenda, and the club appealed to the people of Iveragh, and they raised £22,500 and were blown away by people's generosity. Miles and the club had promised that July 2026 annual field day in Waterville would be for a lovely young Waterville boy who has started his kidney transplant journey. Johnny and Fiona Walsh's son, Keelan, is only 9 years old and is the bravest and strongest young man you could meet. And the club is reaching out to the people of Iveragh and beyond to help Keelan on his journey on Sunday, the 19th of July in Waterville. And I met with Brenda and Keelan's mom, Fiona, during the week. Now, I'm delighted to say I'm here with Brenda and Fiona ahead of this wonderful field day event. The Iveragh Vintage Club are organising it, taking place in Waterville. Brenda, we'll start with yourself. Tell us about this field day. How long is it going and who is organising it? Tell us about the Iveragh Vintage Club.
Yes, Joe. The Eveair Vintage Club was set up in 2014. My husband, Miles, broke his leg and he was off work and he had nothing to do. So himself and a couple of buddies, they set up the club. And it was 2014. We now have over 80 members, which is fantastic. Miles was the chairman. And I've taken over the role of chairperson this year. And it's all about, what the Vintage Club is all about, it's promoting and preserving our rural heritage. It's about, we do fun runs, we do tractor fun runs, we do a field day, which has been very successful, normally in July. And last year it was extra special because it was after Miles had passed away, and we did it for the Carrasfeen Hospice and Hospital, where he had his last few days, and he was treated so, so well with such compassion and dignity and whatnot. And we were so thankful to them. So the club, oh my God, all the big guns came out for it. It was absolutely fantastic. We raised 22,500 euros, wow, which was amazing. And we were guaranteed that's inside the local hospital. Not, you know, it won't be in the, it's in the local hospital.
It won't be in the HSE overall pot, yeah.
No, it's left there. So that was a massive success. So we had previously intended to give it to Keelan Walsh, a lovely young boy from Waterville. But that didn't happen because Keelan was unwell. So we, Miles and the club had said that they promised that they'd give it 2026. So here we are in 2026. And we're hoping everything will go as good as it did last year. So the club has a lot of, it has the field day every July, a lot of fun runs, and it's about everything vintage, really. And we've a lot of young members this year, which is really, really nice to see the young blood coming in. And they're so proud on the day, rocking up with their tractors all cleaned up and everything. So it's a real fun day. It's a family day. It's a great family day. And this year is going to be extra special. Because Keelan's all, Fiona's done an awful lot of extra things for this year.
And we will be talking about those. But just last year, I remember talking to you. It was still quite raw, Miles passing. And you've taken over as chairperson now. Like, yes, that's wonderful to kind of continue that tradition that Miles, or that legacy that Miles has had started. What was that like for you?
Should they get the lads? It's mostly lads in the whole thing, and the lads are absolutely amazing. There was no bother. Everybody pulls together. It's just a fun, it's a fun thing, and we'd like to keep it going. We have a couple of things for this year coming. We're having our first dinner dance. It's going to be in February, and Valentine's weekend. I'm hoping all the vintage boys will bring their vintage wives out with them. That's going to be in February, and just a bit of fun. And then we're hoping to do a calendar as well this year. With all the pictures, because I have millions of pictures. And
this is not going to be one of those risky calendars. No, I hope tractors or something, is it?
Definitely not. And so to go back in our things we've done before, we did it for the Carrasfeen Hospice and Hospital, as I've said. We did it for Valentia Hospital. We did it for Cúnamh. And we did it for Skellig Stars, just to mention a few. Mm. And like, the people of Eveair and beyond have been absolutely amazing. Amazing. Everybody's willing to help, you know. Mm. And the Vintage Boys are fantastic because there's a lot of work in the prep of this. It's not just me standing here, sitting here and talking to you. There's an awful lot of prep to be done, insurance and bringing tractors. And, you know, it's a lot of work. So it's a great thing for the community, in fairness. So.
Yeah. And we will be talking about the actual field day, but I'm also joined by Fiona Walsh, who is the mom of Keelan. And the whole, I'm looking at a beautiful poster here, Eveair Vintage Day supporting Keelan's transplant journey. We'll talk about his transplant journey, Fiona. But first, Keelan himself, what's he like?
So Keelan is the youngest of five. He's very happy, very sociable, very bubbly, football mad, typical little nine-year-old. He's also extremely resilient. Do you know, he was born with kidney disease. So, like, he's only nine. He's obviously, he's been through more already than most adults would go through in their lifetime.
Mm. And so it was very early on, so, like, that you knew about that. Like, having a young child myself, there's a lot that, with a young child, a healthy child, but that must have been a lot to deal with.
Yeah, of course, Joe. We knew before he was born that one kidney didn't develop. It was just a massive cysts. And we were hoping that when he was born, the second kidney would kick in and do the work of two kidneys. but unfortunately that wasn't the case. At about 3 weeks old, we learned that that kidney was failing. And over the years, it failed gradually. You know, he had numerous kidney infections. We travel up and down to Crumlin's Children's Hospital. They're brilliant. That's where he gets all his treatment. It gradually failed. He was stable. We were maintaining the condition with medication and diet. But as the years went by, he sadly lost function. And then just before Christmas now, he started dialysis. Okay. So he's on home dialysis now every night.
And so when does transplant come into that? Is it when he's going on dialysis, you know, then when he has the failure that, you know, it's a transplant then?
Yeah. So at the moment, the kidney has failed and the dialysis machine at home every night, he's on that for 8 hours. That's doing the work that his kidneys can't do. So he's actually now active on the live donor list, hoping that someday we get a call for a kidney. And myself and my husband Johnny are also being tested.
Okay.
So hopefully one of us will be a match.
Yeah. And then, like, his daily life then, is that by night he's on dialysis while he's asleep, or does it affect his daily living?
Yeah, so the therapy itself, the dialysis, is by night, 8 hours. He's connected to his machine via a tube coming out the side of his tummy, and that runs overnight. But actually, you know, during the day there's a lot of work being done. You're maintaining his fluid, he's on a strict diet, he has medications, we check his blood pressure twice a day, we check his weight daily for fluid overload. You're monitoring and you're just looking, seeing, does he look well, is he tired, is he, you know. And then because Keelan gets very, very sick very fast, you just keep a close eye, you're watching temperature, just generally seeing, is he well?
Yeah. Like, we're in a beautiful part of the world. I live down here as well. But do you feel very far away with something like this?
Especially when he's not well, when he's sick and you're extremely worried. The road to Dublin is a very, very long road, especially at night. The nights are very long as well. You know, the machine is not easy. You get alarms, you get beeps. He sleeps all the way through it. I don't sleep.
Like every mother.
Like every mother. Do you know, you could be on the phone, you could give half the night on the phone to Crumlin. They'd be telling you, move him a certain way, reposition him, sit him up, lie him down.
But there is that support, is there? Like,
there's fantastic support. There's 24-hour support from Crumlin. And Keelan's machine is actually linked to Crumlin all the time, so they can see what's going on. If they're very quick, if they see his weight is gone up or down, or the fluid isn't going in as fast or going in too fast, they'll spot that very quick and give us a call.
And what's the ideal situation? What are you hoping for?
The end goal is transplant. He needs a kidney. Do you know, it's a vital organ and he can't survive without a kidney. So transplant is the end goal, be it either from myself or my husband or from a deceased donor. Do you know, transplant, it offers hope for a better quality of life. But it's also very important to remember that a transplant is, it's a treatment, it's not a cure. After transplant, there's lifelong monitoring, there's medication for life, there's anti-rejection medications, a lot of hospital appointments. Some of the anti-rejections, one drug in particular that Keelan will be on is highly carcinogenic, so he'll be screened regularly, you know, for skin cancer in particular. Really, it's not just go in, get your kidney, plain sailing. And then a kidney doesn't last forever, a transplanted kidney. You're on average, it can last between 10 and 15 years, sometimes a lot less, sometimes a lot more. So this is going to be ongoing for Keelan for the rest of his life.
You'd hope as well that with medical advancements that things would get better, wouldn't you, as well, in that time. But it will definitely improve his quality of life to have the kidney.
It will definitely give him his childhood back. He won't be hooked up to a machine every night. No child, no 9-year-old wants to be hooked up to a machine. They just want to go to bed like a normal child. They don't want to be restricted under diet and under fluids, and be tied to strict times for medication. And
I'm looking at him here. He's a handsome chap in his Kerry jersey, so like he would love to be active as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, he is. He's extremely, extremely active now. Since starting dialysis, the energy he has is amazing. Do you know, only yesterday he was out all day in the sunshine. I thought he'd come in exhausted. I think he's solar powered. He came in actually with more energy, which is great to see. I will never, ever complain about having energy, because I've seen him on very sick days where he can't lift his head, you know, and he's in bed all day. So we're very, very grateful to be able to do home dialysis at home, that we don't have to travel a couple of times a week up to Crumlin for dialysis. We are grateful that we can do it at home. He is very restricted, do you know. He can't go swimming, he can't do contact sports, he can't get wet, no baths, no full showers, all that's gone. Just little things you take for granted with a child.
The vintage, the field day then, what will that mean for you?
Look, we are extremely, extremely grateful that Ivor Vintage Club are doing this for Keelan this year. Miles had mentioned numerous times that field day 26 would be for the little boy, as he used to call Keelan, the little boy. Yeah. And we're just honoured that Vintage Club are carrying out Miles's wishes, I suppose. Do you know what they say? It takes a village to raise a child. And, well, here in Waterville, we truly are blessed with the best. Our lovely village is made up of family, friends, neighbours, teachers, Father Sean, local businesses, and amazing clubs like the Ivre Vintage Club. We're really blown away, Joe. Do you know, every kind word, every message, every donation, every act of support, it shows Keelan that he's surrounded by people who believe in him. So just from the bottom of our hearts, we're just so, so grateful. And thank you for being part of our village, for standing with Keelan and showing the incredible strength of community when it's needed most.
Yeah, lovely words. He'll be like a celeb the field day, I'd imagine. So his, you showed me a great photo there of his grandfather is getting involved as well, from County Meath, where you're from. He, this old Massey Ferguson, and the transformation that has been done on this tractor is something to behold. A labour of love, I'd imagine.
A labour of love is an understatement, Joe. Blood, sweat and tears went into restoring this tractor. It was originally owned by my grandfather, Victor Shalvey, in Coutil, County Cavan. And it was manufactured in 1961. My granddad sadly passed away, and the tractor was sat idle for about 20 years, I think. I have a photograph of the original one of it under a ditch in very, very bad condition, and that picture was taken in 2016. So then my father, Noel Shalvey of Trim, County Meath, took on the task of restoring it, and he worked tirelessly on it. He's done an amazing job, and do you know, it's so meaningful to have it on the field on the day, three generations. Do you know, it's lovely. It's really, really lovely. We're very, very proud, and very proud of my dad and the work that he has put into it.
Yeah, and it's a great way for him to contribute as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're not sure will he be here on the day, but do you know,
the tractor will be there,
and we will definitely feel his presence. Now, Joe, there will be a Cavan flag on the tractor.
Oh, so. Oh, I draw with that, Brenda.
That's not up for discussion. There will be a Cavan flag, like it or lump it.
It could be worse. It could be mistaken for a Mary's flag.
Oh, that's what I thought you were going to say. A Meath flag. That's okay.
I suppose, you know, it is. Like it's at times like this, you love to be involved, you know, in the community and all that, because it just shows it's a time of need. It's where people stand up the most, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And, you know, it's just heartwarming to just the messages of support to know. I always say, you know, Keelan is fighting this battle. We're on the sideline, but the support he has on that sideline is amazing. It's second to none.
Yeah, well, fair play to yourselves as well. That's not an easy thing that you're dealing with every day.
Yeah, that is Keelan's mom, Fiona Walsh, talking there. And we're going to be hearing more from Fiona and Brenda about the actual field day after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
Now let's return to the interview I did during the week with the chairperson of the Ivra Vintage Club, Brenda O'Sullivan. And this year they are supporting Waterville boy Keelan on his kidney transplant journey. And I spoke to his mum, Fiona, as well as Brenda. Brenda, we'll talk about the actual day itself now. Tell us what exactly is going on the field day.
Oh my God, we thought last year was unbelievable. This year is, thanks to Fiona and thanks to everybody that has helped out. We have, last year was unbelievable. But this year, again this year, we have Tina Turner rocking up. We all know who Tina Turner is. And we have music and we have Irish dancing, etc., etc. And we have sheep shearing, blacksmith, a pet farm. We have Wellington throwing, beekeeping, a thrasher and a vintage cars and tractors. That's 15 alone coming from Killarney Vintage Club, which is amazing. We have a raffle on the day. John Shea, Skellig Tours, Cahar Daniel has given Fiona and Johnny three amazing prizes, so they'll be for sale on the day. So the three prizes are a Skellig landing trip for two people, a trip to Bull Rock for two people, and a family fishing trip around Derrynane Bay for a family. I mean, that's amazing, Joe. All from one person, like, fair play. That was very, very good.
I've been on those trips. They're exquisite.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
They're amazing altogether. And we have lots of things, you know, and Fiona has lots of things. She'll talk to you about that in a moment. Yeah. She has lots of things to do. So now, the main thing we have, the extra we had this year, we have a wax-off. So our local ex-beautician, Trish, is going to work her wonders, or torture, whichever you want to say, on two priests and two publicans. We'll reveal no names until the day.
Very good.
But
I hope they're hairy.
One priest said they never saw the light of day. So, the priests will pray for those suffering, and the publicans console the victims with a stiff brandy. So, from collars to high stools, Trish has no mercy. Let it be known.
That'll be the main event, I'd imagine.
It'll be a bit of fun. Yeah, so yeah. We will keep the names until closer to time. It'll be a bit of fun. And what I couldn't believe was when I rang the two priests and I rang the two publicans, they just said to me where and what time.
Yeah.
There was no thinking about it and nothing.
That says a lot as well. I'm just thinking about the vintage and how important it is, because, like, I've interviewed a good few vintage clubs. They all kind of support each other as well, which is important. But, you know, they talk about rural isolation as well. It very much helps that, because it's a project like Fiona's father there. You're working away in it, and it's for a reason. And the field day is a chance to actually show it off or to show people, and then to exchange stories as well. So there's a lot of that going on as
which
well.
Is lovely, yes. Yeah. We've our oldest member, I think he's our president, Donny Connell from Ballinskelligs. Oh my goodness, his wares are just amazing, and his wife is with him. It's just, and they've been coming for years, and like just to walk around and see their stuff, and they tell you the history of it. And Tom Horgan, another member, and he's fantastic as well. And it's very interesting, you know, very interesting to hear the stories. We had Donny Shea one time. He was doing, I think, something with ropes and things, and there was, you know, just, and people
Island
gobsmacked
by,
Yeah.
See, Donny's a font of knowledge as well, and that's important as well, to bring everything to life, because if you're just lucky, it's something you might know what it's about, but everyone knows the history, and Tom is a font of knowledge.
Oh my God, and to speak to these people, like, it's absolutely amazing. But to see what Donny and his wife have is just amazing to go through. Yeah. So it's lovely.
He's a great Gael Gore as well. Yes. Fiona, we've only a few minutes left, so what extra bits of spice have you added to it?
Look, we just wanted fun, a fun family day. So we've organised what we're calling Keelan's Corner. There'll be face painting, there'll be giant inflatables, there'll be beanbag toss, tractor, little games. And there'll also be a teddy bear hospital. If little boys and girls out there have a little sick teddy bear that they'd like to bring, we'll have a nurse and a doctor on hand to fix.
Sorry, I might bring my own teddy bear.
And a few more. There'll be something for everyone. Giant inflatables and all. It'll be a lovely fun day.
Yeah, excellent. Finally, Brenda, remind people when it's on again and where.
Okay, so it's in the Barracks Field in Waterville. And it's on Sunday, the 19th of July. and we're running it from about 10-ish until 3, because there's some hurling final on, so I've been told. And so it's a small window, but we'll get it. All we want is good weather and the people of Ivora and beyond to come out and support like they've done year after year, and give it an extra push this year for young Keelan.
Excellent. Well, Brenda, thanks a million. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and well done for taking on your role. Congratulations, and bringing it on as well. That's absolutely brilliant. It's just so lovely to hear that Miles and the club's wish for 26 for Keelan is being carried out as well. There's something beautiful about that, to have both of you here talking to you as well. And Fiona, continued good health to Keelan, and hopefully things improve for him, and hopefully you get that transplant. And we wish him all the best.
Thank you, Joe.
And thanks a million for talking to me.
Thank you very much, Joe. It's a pleasure. And thank you to the listeners.
Thank you for your time, Joe.
Yeah, so that's the Ivora Vintage Day taking place next Sunday. Do support it in Waterville. Now we're going to take a break, and after that, we're going to be going to the Tearock, that famous island off the west coast of Kerry, and we're going to be speaking about its lighthouse.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney, serving the finest seafood in a cosy modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.ie.
Now I'm going to play an excerpt for you from the Inish Tearock Lighthouse documentary we did. Here I had an interview with Gerard Butler, who was a lighthouse keeper and historian, about his time on Inish Tearock. Flanked to the southeast by Inish Ficlon, Inish Nabro and the Great Blasket lies Inish Tearock and its dramatically situated lighthouse. A natural tunnel connects the higher and lower parts of the island. Being the westernmost of the Blaskets, Inish Tearock is the westernmost island of Ireland. The lighthouse was built there in 1870 and is maintained by the Commissioner of Irish Lights. It was automated in 1988. Very few people actually see the lighthouse, as it's obscured from the mainland by the peak on the island. In the closing scenes of the movie Ryan's Daughter, the island can be seen in the background as Robert Mitchum and Sarah Miles wait for the bus to take them away.
Old Tearock was a huge rock. Rises up about 700 feet out of the sea. Actually, there's two islands or two rocks on it. One is called Illa Verd, and the other one is called Green Isle. And Green Isle, if you look at a picture of that, you clearly see that it was never covered with ice during the Ice Age, and soil right all the way up along that that rock. And it made that rock suitable for gardening. It made it suitable for, when the keepers were there, they had goats, so they had milk and they had meat. They also had fowl, but there was always a downside to everything. And the downside would be that the goats were doing damage to the vegetation, to the, when they were standing on the soft ground, they were knocking it. Little piece, whatever size, they were still doing damage. And in the early 1800s, the British government adopted a policy of putting rabbits out onto all islands in the UK. There are rabbits on Skelligmichael and on Inish Tearock particularly, where they were never contaminated by the... they never got the myxomatosis. So they just bred and bred and bred. But now their burrows are doing quite a bit of... And also doing a similar damage, because they're also going into the burrows and rooting around. And but that's the life of it. It was the first rock I went to, and when the helicopter left, the isolation, it was one thing I will never forget, was the isolation. And I remember thinking to myself, my gosh, though I had known about it and everything else, you have to experience it. I remember I quickly had to get my wits about me and say, you know, you are who you are and you'll do your time and that will be that, you know. But once I did that there and then, isolation was no longer ever going to be a problem for me. Then again, I was young and I explored continually and I found my feet.
The island is less than a half a mile long and a quarter of a mile wide. And with the two steep precipices of 116 metres and 200 metres joined by a narrow saddle with sea arch underneath 75 metres high,
The only flat or accessible places are those hewn out of the rock by craftsmen who stayed on the rock for a number of years, preparing the north and south landings and pathways and steps, and the east landing, which is no longer accessible due to rock falls. Preparatory work started on cutting landing steps and access and preparing a level platform for the lighthouse in 1864 and continued apace for the next 6 years until completed in 1870. A tragic event occurred during construction when one worker fell to his death in 1867 while collecting seagulls' eggs to eat. As well as the lighthouse and ancillary access works, two houses were built to accommodate the lighthouse keepers and their families. CSO records for 1881 show a population of 13 on the rock, including two keepers, their wives and families, and a total population of 10 souls 10 years later in 1891. The 1901 census names the three keepers on the island: James Connell, aged 35, who was head keeper, along with assistants Peter Roddy, 44, and John Connolly, 21. Once the lighthouse was built, a funicular railway similar to the one on the Fastnet Rock and the steepest in Europe was built to transport equipment. Keepers and their entire families were also often transferred from island station to island station without ever going ashore onto the mainland. In 1896, the keepers requested that the station be made relieving, that is, no permanent continuous habitation, but habitation by keepers only, principal keeper and two assistant keepers, on alternating terms of duty, with relieving alternate crew. The commissioners for Irish Lights agreed to their request, and they and their families were transferred to new quarters in Valentia, and a terrace of 8 new houses were built in 1900, behind Knightstown, to house the keepers of both Skelligs and Tyrucht, and their families moved in 1901. Thereafter, their families remained on Valentia, while the keepers went separately to keep the light for their 2 to 3 week tours of duty. Usually, each man was at the lighthouse for 6 weeks at a time, and then on leave for 2. On island and remote headland lighthouses like this, they might see no one but other keepers and the crew of the relief boat during that period. Separation from their families was difficult at times. Because of the remoteness of lighthouses like the one on Inishtiracht, it could be lonely. Lighthouse historian Gerald Butler was a lighthouse keeper whose family were steeped in the tradition.
I was born into it. My parents and my grandparents were all lightkeepers. So it was just inevitable that I was going to follow on in their footsteps, and I did. And you'd want to be very good in your own company, and that's really the main ingredient. If you're at peace within, you're made. And strangely enough, it's not everybody can do that. You would think that it's a sedate life, it's easy enough and all that, but when you're challenged with isolation, it can speak a different language to you, if you like, you know. Well, isolation would affect, it depends on the person. It always depends on the person. So that's what made it good for some people, not for others. And I did work with a chap who found isolation very difficult. And it just meant that he was never able to, if you like to use the word, detach himself from the shore. So if he could do that, fine, you were where you were. But he would be sitting there in the kitchen and his mind was always stuck back ashore. He was somewhere else, and you didn't have any company. For that reason, time dragged with the likes of that chap. And lovely man and all that, but that's just the way it was. Even my own twin brother, he couldn't handle isolation either. He needed interaction with people. So his time was difficult, and he found better peace when he left it. And that's what you had to do. You had to leave it if you weren't able for it, you know. But most people were able for it. But that said, even though you were not a tradesman, you were a man of many trades. In other words, if something went wrong, there was just you. So you understood how to fix anything and everything in the light. You were able to keep that light going no matter what. Then you were able to repair a generator to a certain degree. You would do it if you had to. You'd do domestic work in the house. If a window came, a board crashed in, which I'm dreaming a bit there, but if something like that happened, you were the person who had to go and shore that up. Or drinking water, you had to maintain that. Then you had to be able to do bookwork. There was a lot of record keeping. We used to do a lot of weather recording. And you were doing this kind of stuff all the time. We were doing a lot of radio work then because from after the Second World War period on, radios became the norm out on these lighthouses. So everybody was certified to speak in them. And you were doing that as well. So it was a pile of activities. And then your hobby work, you were kept, if you had time, which you had lessons of it, you were extremely creative. I worked with some artists who were so outstanding. Even as I think of them today, I think in awe of them, you know.
Where once ships brought supplies, now access is only by helicopter. The most westerly lighthouse in Europe, it has a treacherous surrounding area.
The landing on Inishtiras and landing on and off of these rocks was quite challenging because you had to be able to be landed on the rock when landing conditions were unsuitable. So you were winched up out of the cutter by a derrick on a seat. And the seat was just a circular disc of timber with a rope passing through the centre. So you sat on that, held onto the rope, and you were winched up out of the boat. And then going back, you were landed about 50 feet up over the water. Going back then, you were picked up off this platform, swung out over the water, and you were lowered down by the lightkeepers. And they keep you just above the highest wave so that the cutter was still lying off. And when the coxswain got it clear in his mind, he would tell the crew when to row, and they would arrive down in the truck. Up they'd come in a swell, grab the person going ashore, and they would just fall back into the arms of the boatman. And a parent, back in the early days, or as they say nowadays, back in the day, they would have a child on their lap doing that. So the child would be holding on as well. And then when they were told to fall back, they fell back. The one thing I never knew, and I'd known about this now all my life, but this piece I didn't. There's some few years ago, I was in the university in Cork, and the lady in the library, she gave me a letter that was written into the university a long, long time ago. I'm not sure when. But this letter was describing what it was like for a parent or parents who had an infant on the rock. Now, an infant would be something like a newborn baby, but maybe a bit hardier. But not able to sit on the seat, not able to hold on. You can't tie them onto you because if you fall, you could crush them. If you fell into the sea with them tied onto you, you're only going to have your head out of the water, so they would be drowned. So the only way of doing it was to wrap the child in blankets and clothing and coats and even oilskins, whatever they could, and tie it with ropes, and then get as close to the landing as possible. And when the cutter would come in as close as it could, they would throw the child, which was like a rugby ball, if you like. The boatmen would grab it, and if they failed to grab it, the child may fall in, or the infant may fall into the boat, or else the infant may fall into the water. If it fell into the boat, it was so well padded. If it fell into the water, it was still so well padded that it was going to be floating for quite a while. So it would be easy for the boatman or the crew members to fish that child out of the water. And we think that's bizarre, but you know, we look at it from our own seat, if you like, which is we're driving cars to work. We're in the absolute ultimate of luxury in every respect. And it's difficult for us to try and imagine what life was like back then.
From 1901, the CSO records show a consistent number of tree keepers on the rock until 1988, when the lighthouse went automatic. Of these keepers, one fell to his death while trying to round up some of the island goats for milking, and one other keeper broke both his arms and leg in a fall, but lived to resume his former job as keeper. The lighthouse was automated in 1988, and to this day stands as testament to the lighthouse keepers and their families who kept the light and the countless lives that were saved as a result.
Yeah, fascinating insight into lighthouse keeping there from Gerard Butler. We're going to take a break and we're going to have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across the county. Serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1963.
Now calling all green fingers and gardening experts, I have a question for you. I was talking to my mother about this during the week as we were driving the roads. The hydrangeas, they're in full bloom all around this county and they seem to be blossoming and doing better than any other year. You know, they're that beautiful coloured flower. You can get them in green and yellow, white and kind of pink and violet. And there's a beautiful assortment of them going to Glimbe. And of course, they have their festival this weekend. And leading in both sides, they adorn the road so beautifully. But I've noticed it in people's gardens and everywhere, they're doing really well. Now, it might be a case you'll tell me that all flowers are doing well. Maybe it's to do with the temperatures or whatever. I'm not sure. But you might tell me, why are the hydrangeas doing particularly well? If you could send me an old email, I'd like to know. jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. Now, lots coming in the second hour of the Saturday Supplement. We'll be talking to Hannah O'Sullivan in Port Magee about her new podcast, Physically Challenged, The Full View. And I'll play you an interview I did with Barney Rock 10 years ago at Mico's 80th to get you up for the Dublin Kerry game tomorrow. And also we'll have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom letting you know what's going on in the arts world. But we'll take a break and we'll have the news at 10 and I'll join you again in the next hour.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by the new family fish box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars. Packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today.
Now I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. A reminder for people that want to send in photos to our monthly In Focus photography slot with Dominic Walsh. The theme is my home. So this would be if you were on holiday somewhere and said that someone asked you, where's home to you? And you could just show them this photo. So that can be a landscape, it can be a person, it can be a place, it's whatever is home to you. Email them to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie for midday Wednesday before the first Saturday of the month. Now, Hannah O'Sullivan from Port Magee is a former student of mine in the Kerry College Radio Kerry Broadcasting course. And it's great to hear that she has set up her own podcast called Physically Challenged, The Full View. And she's going to be joining me very shortly. But first, have a listen to the promo for her new podcast.
Have you ever thought about what it's like to plan a holiday as a full-time wheelchair user? Do you value independence? Are you someone who would love to have an independent holiday without family, but having physical limitations is preventing you from dreaming big? Have you ever had an experience in life that truly opened your eyes? Have you ever had an experience that lit a fire in your belly? Have you ever had a time where your life has been transformed in a way you never thought was possible? Have you ever heard the phrase, where there is a will, there is a way? I'm passionate about empowering others. Today, I want to empower you. And thanks to a truly meaningful charity, this particular experience has had more of a personal impact than I could have ever imagined. And I hope that by sharing my experiences, I will motivate you to think outside the box and embrace new opportunities, because it's so important to believe in the possible.
Now, I'm delighted to say, joining me on the line, we have Hannah O'Sullivan from Port Magee. And Hannah has been involved in many fundraisers over the years, and this time she's doing one for three Kerry groups that go to Lourdes every year, and the fundraiser is on in her beloved Port Magee, going into Valencia on the 18th of July. Hannah, you're very welcome.
Thank you for having me, Joe. It's great to be able to talk to you again, and I really appreciate all the interviews that we've had together in the past as well.
Yeah, I love doing them. And we've been doing interviews since you were in transition year. It's a good few years ago now. So yeah, it's amazing.
I'm 23 now. So that was back in 2018. So that was a good,
eight years ago. Yeah, that's mad. And you, of course, were a student of mine in the broadcasting and journalism course as well. And I have to say, you were a great addition to the class. What have you been up to since we were last talking?
So I suppose it's good that you brought in the about the journalism course, because a few weeks ago I set up my own podcast called Physically Challenged, The Full View. So my aim is to interview people with physical disabilities and also the services that support them. So I have a few episodes up there now. So if anyone wants to go and have a listen, the podcast is Physically Challenged, The Full View, and it's on Spotify.
Excellent. Well, that's brilliant to hear. So it's not just, I suppose, interviews. It's kind of advocacy as well. And, you know, giving a voice to people as well, I'd imagine, Hannah.
Yeah, giving people a platform to share their story, because I suppose I feel like there's a lack of awareness around physical disabilities. And I just want to be able to, I suppose, meet that need, you know, and provide more awareness, you know, and talk about like the good and maybe the not so good, you know, the services that are doing good work, as well as the areas that could be improved, you know.
Yeah. And I suppose, would it be more than just that as well? I suppose you have to get to know the person as well, because people aren't just defined by their disability, or, you know, they're more defined by who they are.
Yeah. I get to know the people on a personal level, you know, and I do research beforehand as well. And it's just great to hear how in different ways people are, you know, embracing their physical challenges. They're doing great things. And I suppose that's kind of the empowering side of it. I want to be able to empower other young people that even though you might have a physical challenge, you can, you know, you can still go on to do great things, whether it's volunteering or advocacy or doing a college course or working, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. So it's Physically Challenged, The Full View, and it's up on Spotify now, the first few episodes. Yeah. Excellent, Hannah.
And I suppose I'd love to get a bit more engagement from it as well, you know, people sending in their suggestions and stuff. So if you do have any suggestions for topics or something you'd like me to talk about or something you'd like to hear from a guest or maybe a specific guest you'd like to hear from, or maybe you want to share your story yourself, you can email physicallychallengedthefullview@gmail.com.
Excellent. Have you a Facebook page, Hannah, that people can check out, or social media?
Yeah, I have a Facebook page as well.
Yeah.
Physically Challenged, The Full View is the name of the Facebook page. And in due course, I also plan to set up an Instagram account as well, just to get all demographics possible, you know?
Yeah, excellent. And you're always busy, so what else are you up to?
So I suppose just before the summer, there I started volunteering in the Waterville Homework Club. So I find I found that really rewarding. You know, it's great to see the kids enjoying themselves, and it's great to see activities available for kids in South Kerry, you know, especially outside of the sporting kind of area. You know, it's great. And I'm also delighted to say this week I got confirmation that I got accepted into a youth work course in the new Kerry College campus in Killorglin town. So I'm looking forward to getting stuck into that in September.
Excellent. Geez, never a dull moment with Johanna. You're always bettering yourself for the betterment of people as well in the community, which is great to hear. So tell us about, speaking of the betterment of people, the fundraiser you're doing this year, and it's for, and you've selected new charities, and tell us about these.
The charities I'm doing my fundraiser for this year is Group 135 Kerry, the Rise and Shine Trust, Group 189 Carrigan, the Rise and Shine Trust, and Jet Set Group 305 Carrigan, also part of the Rise and Shine Trust. So the Rise and Shine Trust, they bring young people with additional needs to Lourdes every Easter. They used to, people might know them previously as the Irish Pilgrimage Trust. But I've been with Group 135 twice, and I had a really good time. And I'm also very lucky to know some of the volunteers in both Jet Set Group 305 and Group 189. Clorgan as well, so yeah.
And you obviously had experience with them over the years, is it? Is that how you got to know them?
Yeah, it was great, you know, to get my first independent trip away from home with the Group 135, you know. I was so delighted, you know. Independence is a really big thing, but as I put on one of my posts lately, like, it comes down to giving people with additional needs, you know, time and space to be themselves and to shine and to grow. And I think that's just so important. You know, it's such a simple thing, but it can mean so much, you know.
And that's, I suppose, the group in Carrigaline there would be Dinis Daly and Eileen Clifford, wouldn't it? And a few more of them involved.
Eileen Clifford. Yeah, and they're all so nice. And I think what's very important for people to know is that even though you leave your own family for a week, like the volunteers, they become, you know, your second family. They treat you like they're you're their son or you're their daughter. You know, you're treated with such warmth and kindness and stuff like that. And that's, you know, that's... And obviously, the other big thing is that the volunteers pay for themselves. So all this fundraising, every cent of it goes towards the young people. And, like, the volunteers have to, you know, work so hard fundraising, because each group has to raise 19,000 every year to bring children and young people with additional needs to Lourdes.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. Like, Lourdes happens every Easter, but the application forms have to be filled in before the end of October. So it just shows how much months of preparing goes into it, you know?
Yeah. Lourdes, what's it like? I've never been there.
It's really nice. And I suppose, you know, what can sometimes put people off going on the pilgrimage is that maybe, you know, you think, you know, it's just about masses and stuff. But even at that, like, the masses are really nice. You know, there's a lovely song called Rise and Shine, which I've been listening to every day since it's a dance that all the groups do together. But there's also, like, a fancy dress disco, shopping, bowling, and just, you know, invaluable connection. It really had such a heartfelt impact on my life, and I'll be forever grateful to all the volunteers. Like, to think that it's just given me so much confidence, you know, for the future and stuff as well. Like, I'm lucky, you know, a few weeks ago I went on my first respite break, and if I hadn't gone to Lourdes, I don't think I would have had as much motivation to apply for respite, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And I suppose it's helpful for your family, not that you need to get away from each other, but it's nice, you know, to have a break, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. Like, since I've since I came home from Lourdes, like, my mom, even I wrote it in a testimonial, like, the only negative thing I had to say about Lourdes is that I wished it was 2 weeks long instead of 1 week long.
And, you know, you're giving back now to them as well. So tell us about the actual fundraiser on the 18th of July.
I'm doing a fundraiser on Saturday, the 18th of July. So I'll roll from the Kerry Cliffs to the Skellig Experience Visitor Centre, where Kieran O'Driscoll will do some music, and there'll be chats and refreshments and a lot of crack. And obviously it's a beautiful scenic walk, and it's all for a really good cause, and a cause that's really close to my heart as well. And any donation, big or small, would be wholeheartedly appreciated, both by me and all the volunteers on the three groups, Group 135, Group 189, and Jet Set Group 305, Killorglin.
Excellent. And what we often say this, but it's one of the most scenic walks you'll ever do, or rolls, or whatever way you're doing it. And like I often say, the Kerry Cliffs, they're better than the Cliffs of Moher. I think they're just absolutely stunning. So it's a great location to start from. And hopefully this weather, this great weather we're having, maintains for you, Hannah. And what a great place to finish over in the Skellig Experience, and all your family are there as well, which is great. And Eileen Clifford's son is who you have for the music, so that's an added bonus as well.
And he's a really good singer. And Eileen, you know, she was one of my carers in Lourdes, and like, she's just such full of fun. You know, she you know, she'd come out with anything, and like, that's the kind of people I love, you know?
Yeah, excellent. And of course, we should say his dad is a famous Kerry footballer as well, Joreen Driscoll as well. So, you're in good company there.
And I suppose the other thing I'd like people to know about Lourdes is that, you know, I call it my happy place. You know, even only the other day, I was re-watching the Mass from this year. I love, like, reliving, you know, the moments and stuff like. No matter how much older I get in life, I'll always have my memories from Lourdes. And that's what I've always said. I went to Lourdes for a week, but the memories will stay with me forever.
Excellent. Well, it's a beautiful way to finish the interview on, Hannah. Best of luck with it. And we're encouraging everyone to join you on the 18th of July. What time is it kicking off?
So it's starting at 1 o'clock. So we'll meet at the Kerry Cliffs at 1:45, and it's starting at 1 o'clock.
Perfect. So be there for 1:45 sharp, and you'll be ready to have a great time of it then, finishing in the Skellig Experience. Yeah. Hannah, as always, it's an absolute pleasure, and continued success with everything you do. You're an inspiration, and better you're getting.
And could I just mention as well that if anyone wants to donate online, they can do so on iDonate under Hannah's fundraiser for Lourdes. And I'd like to thank people for all the support so far as well. And again, just to know, it'll be wholeheartedly appreciated by me and each one of the volunteers and all the tree groups.
Great. Hannah's fundraiser for Lourdes on iDonate. Hannah O'Sullivan, an absolute pleasure, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a break, and we'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals. Available in store.
Now, ahead of the Kerry-Dublin semi-final, which will be broadcast, of course, on Radio Kerry tomorrow with Tim and Ambrose, I'm reminded of an interview I did with Barney Rock 10 years ago at Mick O'Dwyer's 80th birthday party in the Sea Lodge in Waterville. And we spoke about the great rivalry between Kerry and Dublin, and of course between Micko and Heffo's Army, as it was known. And we also spoke about Micko himself. So have a listen to this.
Barney, it's a fantastic occasion here celebrating the life of a great man, a great local man here in Waterville. And you're after coming all the way down from Dublin. That says a lot, I suppose, about Mick O'Dwyer, that Barney Rock came down to celebrate this.
Listen, he was a great man, even as a manager against us, he was a great man. But I would have known him when he was in Kildare. I would have known a bit of him when he came in Laois, because he would have been playing Leinster Championships at that stage, and Wicklow. So he's been around, but... You know, in general, you know, to the GAA, he's been very, very good, and you know, life has been good to him too.
Yeah, and what do you think marked him out as a great manager? What was that special something, do you think?
Well, I think he was an amazing man. I don't think he drank, you know, which was an amazing thing for him. You know, and all the success and all the glory that he had, he was just the same person when he was playing than when he finished managing teams. And his just will to win was fantastic. I thought that what he really wanted to do was go out and win, whether we win at all costs at certain stages, but everything was about winning with him. And you know, certainly his record shows that, both as a player and as a manager. You know, he's had tremendous record.
And I suppose all great legends and great sports people have kind of rivalries, and there was that Dublin-Kerry rivalry, and the Heff rivalry as well was great as well. It really brought them on together, didn't it? They forced each other on.
Yes, I think around that time, around the 70s and 80s, it was all about the managers. You know, it was all about Heffo, it was all about Mikko. And I don't know whether they liked each other in many ways. That's not being bad. I'd say if they sat down, they might have a chat, but they wouldn't go out of their way to have a chat, you know. But from that end. But listen, when we were playing against them, and I would have really only came against Mikko maybe in the 80s, 84 and 85. And at that stage, you know, the rivalry was that Kerry had beaten Dublin on numerous of All Irelands, and we were trying to break their duck for the first time since Dublin beat them in 1976, I think it was. But it wasn't to be, and I always knew that the likes of Heffo never really liked that, with Dublin not having beaten them under his regime. So but for Mikko, you know, it was just totally different. But I think that back then days, you wouldn't be playing as many of the bigger matches than you are now. Like, there's a lot more matches now to be played than there would have been back in our times.
Yeah, and I suppose you came into Waterville, you would have seen the statue of Mick O'Dwyer on your right on the way in. Yeah. Now, lots of statues are erected to people when they're gone, and even celebrations, they're celebrated after they're gone. It's a real Irish thing. It's nice that, I suppose, in Waterville, they're honouring him now while he's still alive.
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's only right. And look what he's done for even the village here in Waterville. You know, he's plenty of locations where he had property and had plenty of people working in them as well. And not alone do you see a statue of Mikko, you see also the statue of Charlie Chaplin. So sometimes you wonder which is which.
Very good. Before I let you go, Mick O'Dwyer, what do you think his legacy is to the GAA?
His legacy, well, the unfortunate thing for me is that he never managed the Irish team. Heffo did. You know, I thought that the GAA should have given it to Mikko. He might have been outspoken in many things, but he was only doing it for the good of the players. His legacy will never be matched. You know, in many ways, there's no one going to have his record of all the wins that he's won on the field, and certainly as a manager of, you know, the wins that he's done then. So I think he's just a legend in GAA, and he's probably going to go down as being the most profile and best player, and also the best manager ever in the GAA.
Barney Rock, thanks a million for talking to me.
All right, thanks, Rob.
Yeah, that whets the appetite for the upcoming game tomorrow. And Kiriaboo is all I can say. We'll take a break, and after this, we'll have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom letting you know what's going on in the arts world around the county.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Take the fear out of fish and chat to our fishmongers about how to add delicious, easy-to-cook seafood into your menu. Oven and air fryer ready meals available.
On Sunday, July 12th, all roads lead to Ireland's highest pub, Top of Coombe Kilgarvan, for the annual sheep shearing competition. It's a fun day out with shearing, sheepdog trials, music and entertainment for all the family. Sheep shearing starts at 9 a.m. and will continue throughout the day. That's Sunday, July 12th at Top of Coombe Pub, Kilgarvan.
This summer, get everything you need at Tesco with our amazing club card prices. With 3 for 2 and our wide selection of over 100 picky bits, savour unbelievable flavours with continental and cooked meats, coleslaws, now even more cheese and other delicious bites. Like tangy green olives and red chilli marinade, classic hummus or finest vintage Irish white cheddar and finest prosciutto crudo with truffle. Shop in store or online. Tesco. Every little helps. Available in most stores. Prices vary in Express.
I'm so fed up being single. I'm so fed up being single. I'm so fed up being single.
Sound familiar? If you want to meet your perfect match, then stop talking about it and do something about it. Call Intro Matchmaking, Ireland's leading face-to-face introductions agency, today on 01677000 or visit intro.ie. There are 2 million available people in Ireland, so no matter who you are, where you are or what age you are, there is someone for you at Intro Matchmaking.
Thinking of giving your home a fresh new look? This month at Acme Blinds Kerry, enjoy up to 20% off roller and Venetian blinds, plus up to 15% off shutters and curtains. Expert advice, professional fitting and styles to suit every home. Visit acmeblindskerry.ie or call into our stores in Tralee, Dingle and Killarney.
In a county where crowns are inherited, traditions are passed down and loyalty is earned, there are many heirs to the kingdom. In the world of sport, family names like O'Shea, Spillane, Murrahertig and Ganey have all worn the green and gold with pride. Our words and stories have been captured by great writers like Keane, McMahon and Kennelly. The Garvey family established its first shop in Dingle in 1935 and has been proud to serve communities in Kerry ever since, providing generations of Kerry families with quality fresh food and local produce, supporting local sports and causes, and employing hundreds of staff. Garvey Super Value, proudly committed to the kingdom.
Every week, a massive 89,000 people across the kingdom tune in to Radio Kerry for the news, the sport, the chat, the music, and a voice that cares about Kerry. But what keeps us on air? The support of local businesses across the kingdom. From the family shop on your street to the brands you trust every day. They advertise with us because they believe in local. So when you support them, you support everything we do. Radio Kerry, powered by local businesses, trusted by you.
You're listening to the Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Now, it is the second Saturday of the month, so that means it's time for our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world around the county. And it is very busy times indeed, into the height of the summer. Kate Kennelly, Arts Officer with Kerry County Council, joins us. Kate, is this your busiest time of the year?
Do you know, Joe, that's a very challenging question, because I used to think July and August were quiet, but my goodness, it's very busy at the moment, all right. We had our deadline for a culture night, you know, which will be happening on the 18th of September. But the deadline for people to apply for funding was on the 12th of June. Was that July? I'm trying to think now. But anyway, we had over 60 applications, Joe. So we've just been going through all those. And there's over 50 people getting funding to do events for culture night. So that's taken a lot of our time. But it's just fantastic. There'll be a fabulous culture night now on the 18th of September for the whole county to enjoy. And there's loads of other bits happening. And I know we're going on to our Creative Ireland Kerry programme now, and you'll be talking to Emer and the work she's doing there. But literally through the Creative Communities Grant Scheme, like just to give you an example, there is Paint and Peace, which is happening August and September. The On Cúdhóir, the Seeker, happening August in Killarney. On Chac Bio, which is an intergenerational community arts project, happening in August, starting August 1st in Chac Sheam St Fionnuaigh. And then there is just like there's literally pages of stuff. There's K Visual, which I'll be giving a mention to after we finish up with the Tim and Emer here. And then the Cable, the Social History Perspective, that's on loads of stuff happening there at Michael Fortune, folklorist, and he's capturing the social history side from April to September. And then Where is the Eye in Ireland is a lovely multidisciplinary art project, and it's organized and devised by artist Felix Power. And he's doing an MA in Arts and Engagement at MTU. And that's happening, again, across the county the next few months. And, of course, The Mantle, which you've heard of before, is a lovely community arts project, and it takes place primarily in Rathbay Strand. And that's all happening from April through to August. And then From Waste to Wonder, Creative Climate. You can see there's a very strong emphasis, Joe, on the climate. Mm. You know, communities mm-hmm. are really, really interested, which is fantastic. And they're discussing literally from wastewater to multidisciplinary creative climate action projects. And there's a lot of schools involved and at-risk members of the community and active retirement groups. And the Mindful Museum, of course, are doing lovely initiatives with Kerry County Museum for people living with dementia and their families and carers, and age-friendly services as well to daycare centres. And the Wise Wool project, which we've spoken about before, is happening March through to November. And that's only a taste of it, Joe, so I better let Emer go into detail on one of those.
Excellent, yeah. And we have Emer Fallon joining us to talk about a Creative Ireland Kerry Creative Communities project. Tell us about the project, Emer, and how are you getting on with it?
Hi, it's a series of four summer sound walks taking place on Maori's in July and August, and they're being led by myself and Zoe Ifuedon Green and Silke Michels in association with the brilliant Maori's Conservation Association. And the walks are building on the work we did with the Maori's Conservation Association on a creative climate action project over the past 2 years. So as part of that project, we made a podcast series called Will It Stay Fine? And 7 episodes. And it's actually available on SoundCloud if anybody would like to listen to it. And these sound walks build further on that work of centering the community's voices and collecting stories and reminiscences, but also talking to experts in climate and environment and seeing how the community responds to challenges and how it has responded to challenges in the past and will in the future. But the podcast series was really good fun to record. We spoke to food growing communities, fishing people, and we spoke to loads and loads of local people about their memories of the past. And these sound walks will feature some of that, and they're led along a route which is directly connected to the people you'll be hearing. And they also feature lots of really beautiful ambient sound recorded on the Maharis over the past years by us three artists. So like lark song and buzzing bees and tractors passing. And then we have lovely kind of snippets of music by some local people. We have old poems taken from records that some published in the early 1900s in Kerry newspapers. So I think it'll be a lovely experience, and we're hoping to bring those kind of gifts to the summer visitors to the area who may not have seen much of the work of the podcast yet. So they'll be happening on July the 11th and the 25th and August 8th and 22nd. And the time is currently set at 4 p.m, but if anything happens with weather or anything, it's a good idea to keep a close eye on the Maharis Conservation Association's website, and they'll be updating details close to the date.
And remind people where it will be again.
So there'll be four sound walks. There are two meeting points. Currently, they're Spallan's Car Park and Kilshannock, but the details of that will be pinned down on the social media. And then there's a maximum limit of 15 participants per walk. So book in advance. There is no cost. And it's a brilliant opportunity for us to continue our work with the Maharis Conservation Association, and they do such incredible work out there. So it's a kind of another way of coming at sharing the history and the stories and the culture of the place.
Excellent. I love the idea, Emer, so best of luck with it. It's a fantastic initiative, and it'll contribute so much to the county. Thanks a million.
Thank you very much.
And now it's time to talk about this wonderful festival, Spree Kerry. Tim, tell us all about Spree Kerry.
Well, we have two projects. The Spree Kerry has been going for 21 years in the amazing, recently refurbished St. Mary's Church of Ireland here in Killarney. It's a mentorship program trying to fill the void with young tradition musicians about presentation, speaking with band members, preparing for a high-profile venue gig and talking to the audience as well as sound check, set lists, all the paraphernalia that goes along with that that they might not have yet experienced. They're all well able to play, so it's just trying to fill that void of performance experience. So we have 5 shows. We just did the first one on the 4th of July, last Saturday. And then we have 25th of July, 1st of August, 15th of August, and 22nd of August. You'll find the details on Church of the Slows website. That's the St. Mary's website. And my own website, timoshaeandfriends.com. Another project we have is, and it was working with Kate as well, a collaboration called the Annam Sessions. And basically, that's alternative folk. Singer-songwriter, we have African, we have a bit of traditional, and that's 5 events every second Saturday at Annam next to the now called Old Cinema on East Avenue. And that runs July 1st, 15, 29, August 12th, August 26th. Details, I'm sure Kate has it on her website. I have it on mine, and the venue itself is well labelled. And everything is free, of course.
Excellent. That sounds like a wonderful initiative. Tim, best of luck with it and continued success.
Thanks very much, Joe, and thanks to Kate as well.
And now from one great festival to another, and this, from being a local to Carrigsaveen, is like Christmas time down in South Kerry. Lots of families come home to the Carrigsaveen Music and Arts Festival, and I'm delighted to say from the festival we've Deborah Birmingham joining us. Deborah, you must be looking forward to it now, and you must be up to your eyeballs in organising.
Hi, Joe. Thanks very much for having us on to tell people about this exciting festival. It's 29 years on the go, yeah, this year. And it's so popular with everybody in the town and people returning, as you said. And it completely runs on, I suppose, the goodwill of the community. And we have over 90 businesses with sponsorship and services. But I suppose my role in it is as part of a four-person arts team called Kerry Art Nexus. And we're working in partnership with the festival to organise the arts. So we have 12 fabulous events, which are really exciting, and we're full on involved in it. So we have five exhibitions. One is the Windows of Carrigsaveen. So there will be art from one end of the town to the other. That involved a process of an open competition, which was really, the entries were superb, and invited artists, so it's a mix. We have this year for the first time in the credit union, and there will be two art guided tours of the windows as well, given by myself on 2 days, the Saturday and Sunday. Then we have in the credit union, we have for the first time an exhibition by the Colosh and the Skellig students. So there's a mix of bespoke artwork they've made specially for the festival and old work. And we also have a performance by Niall Casey, a former student there, who's going to do a live reimagined portraiture. Then we have an invited artist over from America, Jay Critchley. And he's a performative conceptual artist and activist based in Massachusetts. He's coming over and he will have an exhibition installed in the Old Abbey, which is near the car park. It will be really fabulous. And there'll be music in there as well. And then just across from the Old Abbey, there is the Old Penal Church, which has been given very generously to us for the festival by Geoffrey O'Connor. And there will be a Clare woman who will be live carving with a chainsaw. A huge piece of a tree taken from the O'Connell Church grounds, and she'll be live carving in the Penal Church. And she's going to donate that to the town, that sculpture. So, and then we have, A Sense of Place is the title for the Colossus students. And then we have the open air art on the railings, on the church railings, for people that can bring their art and sell their art. There will be two performances by the US artist Jay Critchley on the grounds of the Old Abbey. And there will be live sculpting, as I said. So there's loads going on. It's really, really exciting.
Excellent. It sounds fantastic. It's wonderful to hear of all these kind of other events that go on as well, because it is very much an arts festival as well. So that's very heartening to hear. There's some wonderful acts as well on the stage. I see them all here. You've Robert Mazzell, you've The Rising, Clodagh Lawler, and you have the Glory Days, the Bruce Springsteen. Yes,
band
as well. Yes. So look, best of luck with it. The website is cmaf.ie. It's on the August weekend. People can go there for more information. But for now, thanks a million for coming on and telling us all about
it. Thanks a million, Joe. Thank you.
Now we'll go to a break and we'll have more from Kate Kennelly after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from Quinlan's.
Now, I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. It is the second Saturday of the month, so that means it is time for a Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom. And Kate Kennelly is with us, Arts Officer with Kerry County Council. Kate, what's coming up for the month and the time ahead?
Well, Joe, we have plenty happening altogether. So on our Arts Festivals and Events calendar, which is on our website, if anyone wants to have a look, which is arts.kerryco.ie, there's a few festivals that have a good arts content in them. So you have the Atlantic Wave Festival in Ballybunion, and that's the 10th, 11th and 12th of July. And all the details will be online. You have the Sneem Summer Festival, which is the 15th to the 19th of July. And again, details are online or at sneemfestivals.ie. You feel Lunasa, which is a Celtic Harvest Festival in Clahan and Brendan, and that's the 24th to the 27th of July. And then we're into August, Joe, and you have the Carsevine Music and Arts Festival, which I know Deborah gave detail on, and that's the 31st to the 3rd of August, always a great festival. And the Sean McCarthy Memorial Weekend in Fenwick, which is the 31st to the 3rd of August as well, always a great weekend up in Fenwick in North Kerry. And again, all the details are on fenwickweekend.com. So that's fenwickweekend.com. And they're just a few of the bits. Then under our Arts Act grant, Joe, in terms of what's being funded. Now, we had, of course, the fantastic Annan Music and Literary Festival in Tralee, which was very well attended. And there was fabulous events across the town. And hopefully they'll be back bigger and better again next year, because they certainly do a great job every year. Spree Kerry, and I know Tim has alluded to that, Spree started on the 4th of July and it'll be running up to the 22nd of August. So there's lovely free concert sessions again in St. Mary's Church of Ireland and some free over at the Annan Arts Centre as well. And again, as Tim said, it's presenting the finest really of young Kerry performers and giving them the platform, which is great. And then we'll be into the Chamber Music and Valencia Festival, Joe, on the 13th to 16th of August. And there's a few more bits then I was asked to give a mention to. You know, K Visual will be coming up in September. And for your listeners who might have attended K Fest, which was just a fantastic arts festival altogether across the county and ran for, it was how many years was it running for, Joe? Was it 13 or 14? I think it started
a good number anyway, yeah.
Yeah, or it could have been sooner. Did it start? I'm trying to think. I might have been off on maternity when it started. It was up and running, a fabulous festival altogether. And its successor is K Visual and promises to be every bit as good. So I was asked to mention that the deadline for the children's art competition has been extended and entries can be sent into the Grills Gallery at the Fishery by the Bridge in Killorglin. And also there's over 40 artists have now been selected to showcase their work at K Visual, which will take place in September. And they're currently looking for, and I love this, found and borrowed spaces around the town are being identified as exhibition venues. So that would be fabulous as usual. And they're asking volunteers to come forward who are interested in helping prepare the spaces or act as guides and accommodate some of the artists on their stay. And if you want to volunteer, you can go to the website kvisual.ie. And then, of course, during Ireland's EU presidency, which I'll talk a bit more about in terms of the Kerry aspect of it, Joe, next month. But Kerry County Council is supporting a number of arts festivals, and one is K Visual. And as Kerry is twinned with Czech Republic, the K Visual have engaged a Czech artist who's going to join the festival. And there's going to be just a lovely link there and great work. This artist actually represented Czechia or the Czech Republic at the Biennale before. So very high quality work, which will be fabulous. And then the Irish Fiction Laureate is hosting an event in the Blasket Centre in Dunqueen with two Kerry writers. And this is in association with Dingle Lit, Joe. And we have Noel O'Regan, who you might recall, he was a former writer in residence with us, Trillianan. And you've Padraig O'Quivon. And they will be in conversation with Eilish Niguina, who's the laureate. And they will be discussing Noel's debut novel and also Padraig's story collection from 2015. And there'll also be a performance by Shannon singer Slán an Ika Halán, which will be fantastic. And it's all in association with the Dingle Literary Festival and the Blasket Centre. And it's free. And tickets can be booked on dinglelit.ie. And that's on Thursday the 16th in Dunqueen, which will be just fabulous. It's a beautiful part of the world, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, amazing. Jeez, yeah. the amount of wonderful initiatives that are going on. I just checked there for you anyway. 2013 was when K-Fest, according to their website,
oh my goodness,
was founded.
Yeah. I thought it was 2014, so I was a year out. And sure, it's just been fantastic. And to be fair, you know, and the organisers and all the various organisers over the years and the boards and the volunteers are to be highly commended, Joe, because I know for a fact that there's festivals up the country now that had emulated the model of K-Fest and are trying to deliver as good a quality. Now, of course, it'll be up to them to try and deliver as good as in the kingdom, but you know, we wish them well. We wish them well.
The bar is high. The bar is high.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else, Kate, before we finish up?
Well, just to say, we have a lovely Annam Summer Arts Programme up and running. So Clive in the Arts Office here was the main instigator and coordinating that. So there's fantastic events. You have the Annam Battles, which is, we had the Battle of the Bands last year, Joe, and it was decided that we weren't really being fair maybe to solo performers. So this year we're calling it Annam Battles, and any musician can apply and take part. So you don't have to be part of a band, Joe. You can be a solo performer as well. Tim O'Shea, of course, as he mentioned, is doing a number of performances. So he's around, I think the remaining ones are the 15th, 29th, and then August 12th and 26th. And the Battle of the Bands will be August 9th, 16th, 23rd and 30th. And then Ono Sullivan, former Shea Bluegrass musician in residence, is doing a lovely session of trad music and jazz music. And Brian Bowler is doing some lovely theatre performances. He did some theatre performances, and he might be back for more because they're doing great work. I know they're doing stuff for Culture Night, and they might be prepping it on him. We shall see. And Charles O'Brien then is doing lovely film screenings from the 12th to the 17th. And Aidan Connolly, who is the Shea Bluegrass musician in residence, is doing performances on the 29th and 30th. And again, all of these are free, Joe, and people should really make the most of it. So what I'd say is the billboard at Annam, it's a digital billboard, will carry all up-to-date times in case there's any changes. But I'd certainly advise people to make the most of it. As you said, Joe, we've a brilliant county, loads on offer, make the most of it.
Excellent. And one more time, where can people go for all the things we've been talking about this morning?
Perfect. So it's all on our social media, Joe. So it'll be at Kerry Co Arts or on our website, which is arts.kerryco.ie. And they can always give a call to the Arts Office, which is 066-718-3541. And have a lovely summer now, Joe. And we'll be talking to you for August soon.
Yeah, you too. Looking forward to it. And this is a great time of year. The sun is shining and all these wonderful events. So well done, Kate. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thanks, Joe. And have a lovely weekend to your listeners.
Now, that's all we have time for on the programme this morning. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Pat Kelly is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry. And I'll be back again next Saturday from 9 a.m. Until then, look after yourself and take care.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Because at least one day of the weekend should involve someone else doing all the cooking. Order your delicious takeaway from Quinlan's today.